Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Well, today, this is showing my age a little bit, from a song that was back in the 70s. Don't laugh, Paul. Stairway to Heaven. No, I'm not thinking of that song totally, but it comes right out of our text today that we had read earlier of Jacob having that vision of God and that ladder. So let's go through the text. You remember the story that Pastor Rick talked about last week. You know, dysfunctional families were right back in Genesis. It's not something new, right? Working as a social worker, I see a lot of dysfunctional families, but this gives me hope and heart that didn't take long after God created this wonderful world that He created, that sin and strife and family discord took over, right? Even among God's people. And you remember how Jacob stole the blessing from Esau, right? And how do you think Esau felt about that? Not very happy. And Esau, the big, burly, tough guy, the outdoorsman, he's ready to take on Jacob. Jacob was more sensitive type, indoor type. And so Jacob is running for his life, literally. So how do you think he's feeling? Is he feeling all calm and peaceful? No, he's really stressed out because he knows what his brother can do, especially when he's angry. And sibling rivalry, you know, right here back in the Bible. And isn't that discouraging sometimes and disheartening in our families where we have family members that we don't get along with or they don't get along with us, maybe because of our faith or the changes in your life and whatever the reason might be. It's very sad when you have fractures and divisions within families, right? And you can imagine Mother Rebecca thinking, well, here goes both of my kids. You know, I'm going to lose them both. Esau probably end up in jail for murder, and then Jacob's going to get killed. And it was her bright idea to do this, right? Mom said, listen to me, I know best. Sorry, Mom, this case you don't. And the Bible talks about honoring our father and mother and respecting authority, except one instance when they go against God's word. Peter and John said, we must obey God rather than men, when there becomes a difference of opinion, right? And so Jacob really wanted God's presence. He's got this battle inside him. Jacob is this manipulator and deceiver, and that's what the word means. He's kind of sneaky, and he's kind of like a used car salesman. I hope nobody does that for a living. But an unreputable car salesman, used car salesman. Oh, if I got a deal for you. It's you, baby. You just got your name on this, on and on. Well, he was that way. That's how he got through life. He saw that Esau got through by macho and strength, and he said, well, I'm going to be the smooth talker. And it got him in trouble over and over again. But so Jacob is on the run now. He's got the blessing, but now he's got a curse, right? He's got his brother wanting to kill him. So that's the background of the story. So Jacob is on the run. And there's a lot of times that we feel on the run. Moses was on the run when he murdered. You think a lot of times when God's people get caught, they run. Elijah ran for his life. He just had this wonderful encounter at Mount Carmel. And now he's suicidal and depressed and says, I just want to die. And that's the way it goes sometimes in our life. You know, the highs and the lows, up and down and everything else. But through it all, we have a stairway to heaven. We have God with us. Emmanuel was the name given to Jesus, which means God with us, right? So, okay, let's go back to our text. So here's the story. So we got this command that Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, don't marry a Canaanite woman. No unequally yoked. Don't try these dating services. Don't go to the nearest bar to pick up somebody. Please do not do that. The Canaanite women were known as very, very unfaithful, unbelieving, pagans, living it up, and just not godly at all. They didn't have family devotions. They could care less about taking their kids to Sunday school. They were just doing their own thing on Saturday night and living it up, living for the world, and living for pleasure. So Isaac gave this blessing to Jacob. He says, now you get going, because he was on the run anyway. He said, go, and I want you to marry someone away from this area, a godly woman, basically is what he said. And he gave the blessing, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May He give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham. What was the blessing given to Abraham? Remember, it was land, it was seed or descendants, and blessing. That God told Abraham, I want you to move from this area. I want you to start moving. And Abraham was not a believer. He believed in false gods, and God appeared to him. There was a vision given to Abraham, right? And Abraham was given this covenant, this blessing, that in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. And here's this old guy, Abraham, ready for the nursing home. And God says, guess what, Abraham? You're going to have a child. And they said, yeah, right. And remember, Abraham had to do it his own way and had relations with this servant girl, and Ishmael was born. And God said, no. It's going to come through your body and Sarah's body. That will be my descendant will come through Isaac. And Isaac was born. Then Isaac was, God called Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice to test his faith, see who was really number one in his life. Abraham succeeded that test. And the blessing then was land. Abraham was supposed to go out into a foreign land, live in tents, even though he was a very wealthy businessman, and trust God, and that eventually he would have more land than he knew what to do with, and more descendants he could count as far as the stars in the sky and the sand in the sea, and blessing would be upon Abraham, and not just him and his family. And it's so powerful. Gary Trent, a Christian psychologist out in Scottsdale, talks about the power of a parent's blessing. And we think about, what kind of words do we use with our kids and our family? Do we say, oh, you'll never amount to anything? Or, well, you're just like your father, you're just like your mother, or whatever. Or do we say, you know, God has got a special purpose for you, and I see this in you, and I see so much potential, and you can do it. Well, that's the kind of blessing God had here, in which Jacob received from Isaac, and also we were called to give to our family. Okay, now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him to Padan Aram to take a wife from there. And then when he blessed him, he commanded him, don't marry a Canaanite woman. So Esau says, well, that sounds good. I'll do it too. So he goes out and he marries someone away from that area, from Ishmael, adds another wife to his family. And that's a whole other thing polygamy we'll talk about later. Don't want to get into now, but it's not a good thing. It just added more strife. And for one reason or another, at that time in Genesis, God didn't put a stop to it like he did later. But he allowed it to happen. So Esau said, I'll have another wife. Why not? He's trying to please his father now, somehow to get his blessing back. But it wasn't God's way. Okay. So Jacob's on the run, looking for, he's on his dating ventures, and he's asking God to bless his dating experiences and to find a wife. So he leaves Beersheba and he set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, the scriptures say, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. I always, when I'm traveling, I like to have my hotels in advance. Do you ever do that, or you just go and see what you can find? Or just camp out? Well, I remember going to Joplin, Missouri last year. Remember that, where you took some things over to the victims of the tornado? I thought, well, I'm not going to reserve. I'm just going to drive straight, and then I'll get a hotel there. Well, I didn't quite make it far enough. That's 22 hours straight. Wasn't real wise, and so it's like 3 in the morning, and I went to, I think, Springfield, Missouri, and I just was trying to find a hotel 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to find a manager to wake up, you know. And I thought ever since then, you know, it's nice to have reservation ahead of time, you know where you're going to stay. Well, no, in this day and age, Jacob didn't know where he's staying, so he said, well, this is a good place. I guess I'll camp out here. The sun set, and he sets to sleep, and he sees the stone for a pillow. You know, I don't think I like stones as pillow, but in those days, I was reading in the background of this text, it said that in those days they'd have metal pillows. I don't know. That would be quite an adjustment, but for him it wasn't, because they had metal pillows at home. So here's a rock. Hey, it looks good to me. So he thought, that makes a pretty good pillow. I don't know what you do to a stone pillow to pluff it up, but anyway, he thought it was a good place to sleep. And he took one of the stones there, put it under his head, and lay down to sleep. And the Bible says he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending in it, on it. Wow. Now, some of you have had visions. And when I was in seminary, Lutheran seminary, we didn't talk about dreams and visions. That was kind of, woo-hoo, kind of spooky out there, kind of weird. And there are people who abuse that. But we found out that God does use dreams and visions, right, Bruce? He does come in our time of difficulty in a dream or in a vision sometime. And Jacob has a very powerful dream that wasn't as a result of something he ate the night before. It was God. God was totally in this dream. And he sees a stairway starting in heaven and coming down. And he sees angels going up and down this ladder, and God's on top of it. Now, I was reading also about this, that in the area of Mesopotamia, they would have what's called ziggurats, which would be shrines to deities, and it would be have a wide base, and then it'd have steps, right? And then it'd go to the top, and it'd have a deity, a statue on the top. And that's what they think is what the vision here that Jacob had, was like the stepping up to go to a higher place. And from heaven to earth, and earth to heaven. But on top of this mountain, on top of this stairway, was not some false idol, but was Yahweh and all His glory and all His Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord appearing above, and angels coming from God, coming from heaven down and back up again. And it reminds me of a prophecy that Jesus had. Remember with Nathanael? He was calling his disciples, and Jesus said, "Oh, Nathanael, here's a guy with no guile." And as one of his disciples said, "Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth, that hick town, you know?" And that's where Nathanael was from. I bet that had some rivalry later on. Say, why come you picking on my hometown? How come you said that? But anyway, Jesus said, "Here's a man with no guile. I saw him under a tree earlier." And Nathanael says, "How did you see me? You weren't around." And of course, Jesus used his divinity. And Jesus said this. He says, "Nathanael, you think that's something that I saw you under a fig tree? You're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now that will be something." And here we see that Jesus is the connection. He's the way to heaven. He's the stairway to heaven. He's the ladder to heaven, right? And when Martin Luther started reading the Bible, instead of all the church doctrine and church ideas and rituals and traditions have been added layer upon layer over the Bible, and then the Bible is chained to a wall and really not used and put away, he started reading the Bible and he realized that the way to heaven is only Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent," the Bible says in John 17, right? So Jesus is the stairway. He's the ladder to heaven. He is the great I Am who was in existence in the Old Testament and who died and rose again and is with us right here, right now. Isn't that awesome that He is here? Amen. So anyway, Jacob has this incredible vision and dream, the stairway to heaven. And he is just like, can you imagine having a dream like this? And he's not imagining it. And there above, it says, it stood the Lord, and the Lord said, "I am the Lord," which reminds me of God's name, Yahweh. I am that I am that I am. Not the God I was or will be, I am. And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so Jesus laid claim to that name as well for himself, that he is part of Yahweh, the Son of Yahweh, the great I Am, right? The I Am the resurrection, I am the vine, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, on and on and on. He is the great I Am. So anyway, God has this promise, "I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac." And sometimes it's good for us to be reminded who our God is, and that the God who's with our family members and our parents and our forefathers is the God who will be with us no matter what, right? Remind us of who, of what we learned in our confirmation classes, Sunday school, and Bible studies, that the same God who was with us in the past and our family members is with us today. So God reminds him. And he says, "I will give you and your descendants the land in which you're living. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and the south." And we think of Jesus. "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, of all ethnic people, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, always, even to the end of the earth." So he called us to go to the north and the south, the east and the west, to the jails, to Maryville, to the Hispanics, to the gringos, to everyone, to young, to old, to rich, to poor. It doesn't matter, right? We have a call to reach out and extend, not our church, not Lutheranism even, but the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ, right? We are called to extend His kingdom. And that's what Pastor Rick talks about, our message, I mean our vision, love all people to Christ by becoming Jesus followers and enjoying the ever-changing adventure of Jesus. Is it boring being a follower of Jesus? No. We're not talking about church, right, Paula? Not boring, is it? She's on our council. Not boring. But anyway, God has a reminder for them and for us. I am with you and watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised. We think of Mark Kemp, who was in Afghanistan. He was sent, called on a mission out there, and he was brought back safely. And we prayed like crazy that God would bring back Joy, Pastor Joy's son, and he did. And he brought him back. And here, God promises Jacob, I will bring you back, sonny boy. Don't you worry. You're my boy. You're my child. I will not leave you. And we need that promise today. We don't know what's going to happen to our nation, our world. A lot of craziness going on in our neighborhoods. Babby was just talking about that they had the SWAT team over in her neighborhood just yesterday. Gunshots. I can't imagine waking up to gunshots. And they were all around. The SWAT team came in. What a way to start a Saturday morning. I like a quiet Saturday morning with bacon and eggs, you know, and kind of chill out a little bit. Not have the SWAT team come and hearing bullets. But no matter our station in life or what's going on, God keeps reminding us, as he reminded Jacob in that dream, I am with you always. Always. Now sometimes we may not feel that, right? Say, God, I don't feel like you're really with me. There was a story of this, a guy in Tennessee years ago, a woodsman, outdoorsman, and his son was afraid of the woods and afraid of the dark and afraid of the bears out there and creatures. And so the guy says, you know, I've got to teach my son to trust and to believe and get out there. So he says, son, I got a thing I want you to do. I want you to go out and spend one day and night in the woods. Here's your rifle. I've taught you how to use your rifle and to protect yourself, and you can do it. And the kid was trembled, scared to death. He says, no, no. He says, go on, son. He says, Dad, you're mean to me. How can you do this? How can you abandon me and just kick me out like that? He says, get out there. You can do it. Takes him out there in the woods, and it's okay at first till the sun goes down and the boy hears all these noises out there and wondering what kind of creatures. And, you know, I remember one time camping, hearing these noises out there, and my imagination was a big grizzly bear in Arizona. Well, there are bears in Arizona, but I imagined the worst, and maybe a big mountain lion with big teeth coming in. But anyway, the boy started having those fears. And then, sure enough, here came this creature out of the woods. But then, here come Dad with his rifle and scared the animal away. And so all the time, the dad was there watching out for his son. But he wanted his son to go out and to learn how to deal with it. But he said, son, I was with you the whole time. Whether you felt me, whether you knew I was there watching over for you, watching out for you. And God is with us all the time. Sometimes it's kind of scary out there in the dark, in the woods, right? Even for us older people, big people. And God says, here, take my hand. I will walk hand in hand with you. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you get your comfort from the staff of Jesus, from his word, and the Holy Spirit, God's presence, or do you get it from something else? Well, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He woke up. And he said, how awesome. God is in the house. One of Pastor Rick's favorite songs, right? We're not singing it today. but we can have God right with us. And we don't even realize it till later. Like that poem, Fingerprints, right? God is with us. And in worship, have you ever felt his presence when we're singing a hymn? Or during communion, right? You think, wow, we are not alone. He is here. And there's nothing like his presence. We talked about this in Colorado. When Pastor Rick and Robin and Julie and I gave our presentation on revitalizing an inner city church, we talked about you can't do it without prayer, without the power of God and the presence of God, right? And Harvey Cox, a noted theologian, did this big fancy study, and he found a simple thing that we already knew, that you can't go in with programs and all this kind of stuff, religious programs. You have to go in with prayer and God's power. Because the obstacles we face are overwhelming sometimes, right? And the enemies of people's faith, tearing at their faith, tearing at their souls, we don't have the power. But God does. And he comes to battle, comes to fight for us and our family members, right? He really does. Well, anyway, Jacob was just overwhelmed by a sense of God's presence. That's why we picked that song for our sermon hymn. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And for years and years as a Lutheran pastor, I had no idea that I could experience God, and that when I'd sing not about God but sing to God, He was right there and feeling His presence. It's so cool. It is so neat. And we want more to experience His presence. Well, Jacob was so overwhelmed by this sense of God's presence that he dedicated that place in that stone pillow. He poured oil on it. Now we think, that's kind of weird, Jake. Why'd you do that? Well, in that culture, that was a way of setting something apart. It was anointing, called anointing. Charisma means to seal with oil, like a perfume or fragrance. So it'd be set apart. Like when we have a dedication for, I don't know, altar pyramids or a Bible or whatever, we set it apart for God's use. We don't use oil over it. But in those days, either people or things that were set apart for God's use, they'd use this very expensive oil and pour it over it. Like when David was anointed as the prophet by Samuel, what do they pour over his head? They poured that oil, right? And that was a reminder that he was anointed, set apart. And we are anointed not but with that oil, but the oil of gladness, the oil of the Holy Spirit, who oils us, who keeps us lubricated and fresh and a pleasing aroma to others. They go, I want what you have. What is it that makes you different? How do you have that joy and that peace with what you're going through? And we can tell them, it's all Jesus, right? It's all God. And so Jacob dedicated the stone. He said, I'm going to dedicate this as a memorial, as a shrine. Not a shrine, but a memorial to what God did on this wonderful night. And I thought about this. Think about your journey with Jesus. If you were to look back in your life and do a spiritual timeline, what are some places and circumstances where you'd go back and you'd dedicate a place like, oh, I remember that camp. That's where I accepted Jesus. Or, oh, I remember here, this hospital room, this chapel. That's where I felt God's presence. Where would you go back and dedicate a place and remember that place as a special place where God touched you in a very special way? Well, that's something you're to think of. That's your homework, okay? Think about that. And I'll think about it too. Well, after that, Jacob was again just overwhelmed by the presence of God. He goes, wow, what can I do with this great God? I thought I knew Him, but I know Him better. I'm different now. I feel different. And as he got up, he said, you know what? God's given me so much. I'm going to give Him a tenth of everything I own. And so he had this vow and this promise to God. He says, God, if you continue to be with me, I'm going to give a tenth of everything. And of course, that's what we call the tithe, right? Now, I'm not going to preach on money. Don't worry about it. Don't freak out. It's almost the end here. But just, it's not out of duty or obligation. He wasn't forced, thou shalt do this. He says, I love you so much, God, I want to give back to you. And we are called to love God because He loved us first, right? And He says, you know, I don't want your money, I want your heart, I want your life. And when Jesus, when He looked back to His disciples, He said, follow me. And they followed Him, right? Because there was something different about this Jesus, different than any other person they met, any other rabbi or teacher. And we know why. Because He's the great I Am. He is the stairway to heaven. And so we pray. And when I took my class for my doctoral program, we talked about having places that open heaven and having gateways to heaven, whether it be Crucio or Alpha or different retreats or different opportunities where God's always here. But there's sometimes where you feel God's presence more, right? In our prayer time. Wow. And he's like, wow, this is a special moment. Let's don't ruin this. Let's just stay in the moment with God and let Him work in our lives and let Him bless us and let Him fill us with His incredible love. Those are special times, aren't they? Those are gateways to heaven. And may God continue to open up the gates to heaven. May we have a stairway to heaven. Because you know who is trying to close down that stairway? He tries to tear it down, that gate. And he wants a different gate to go to hell, which is a bigger gate. But we pray that God would continue to open up the stairway to heaven for us. And not just us, but our family members. And not just our family members, but those around us that are living in quiet desperation. May God touch them with His presence. They go, how awesome is this place? In Jesus' name, amen.